Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast, live on our Facebook, YouTube and Twitter channels, and later on our podcast channel. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And if you're on our platform channel, please remember to like and subscribe. We do love to have your support. I'm Andrew Musgrove, joined as usual on a Monday by Aaron Stokes. A little later than usual because we wanted to wait until England had kicked off their first game in the 2022 World Cup. And what a game it was, Aaron. They beat Iran 6-2. And the reason we wanted to wait was to see whether Nick Pope, Callum Wilson and Kieran Trippier featured. Two of the three did. We expected Kieran Trippier to start. He ended up finishing the game as captain. Callum Wilson came off the bench and assisted Jack Grealish, which I'm sure put a smile on quite a few Cast United fans' face, and maybe also Miguel Almirón laughing at the irony of that. We're going to discuss those two performances. Got a couple of questions as well from our listeners. You guys watching can also drop any comments into the comment box and we'll get through the best of them. We'll start, Aaron, with Kieran Trippier, right back for England. And he just looked like he was playing for Newcastle United in many ways. Just classy.
Yeah, look, Jermaine Gina said it well on commentary when he said it looks like a club team. You know, that England team looked like they've been together for years. You know, some of the moves they were doing on the pitch. And Trippier looks like he's just been playing forever, doesn't he? You can tell he's a 32-year-old veteran in that England setup. He was a leading from the front. Very, very good both on and off the ball. I thought he was very good going forward in that first half. Created a lot of chances. And, yeah, look, I don't think you can say Trent Alexander-Arnold holds out much hope of getting back in that team at right back as long as Kieran Trippier stays fit for this tournament.
Because it's not just about the form coming into the World Cup or how Trippier has performed today. It's also that leadership. And we've got Davey here saying a world-class display from Trips today. And Bob Shafto saying Kieran Trippier was pure class. And for me, what really stood out was that all those gestures that we see when he's on the pitch in black and white, you know, organising teammates, pulling them in the right direction, telling them to do this and to do that. We saw that today with England. And it's one thing to do it at a club level where maybe you are the biggest fish in the pond and Kieran Trippier, in some eyes, is that player. I know we've got Bruno Guimaraes and we'll talk about him in a moment, but you know, Kieran Trippier is probably one or two, three on the list, isn't he, at Newcastle United. There's a lot of players in that England squad who would probably think they're the biggest fish in the pond, but Kieran Trippier is not afraid to go in there and to maybe pull rank and just make sure everyone's organised so that England can get the win.
Yeah, look, you know, you pointed out, we were watching it here in the Chronicle office, and you pointed out that he was gesturing at, you know, the likes of Harry Maguire and John Stones to get up the pitch when England didn't have the ball. Sorry, when England did have the ball. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there. At Newcastle United, he's the leader. He's got the captain's armband. He's going into that England team. He's got Harry Maguire beside him. Now, look, Harry Maguire, yes, everybody knows what form he's been in for Manchester United, but he's an £80 million player. You've got John Stones playing for the Premier League champions. And he sees no issue with storming into that team and actually, you know, demanding so much of them players.
And you've also got the Liverpool right back that you mentioned just before, who seems to have most of the media in his pocket when it comes to this debate. The debate running up to the World Cup, a lot of pundits didn't even have Trippier in the discussion.
Well, we were talking about this, and it felt like if Kieran Trippier was playing for a big six side, he would be in the debate a lot more. He felt like because he was in, you know, little old Newcastle's right back, everyone was saying, oh, it's a, you know, Trent should never be playing. And really, the debate is actually who could even replace Trippier. Now, when Kyle Walker's fit again, you could maybe ask the question if he plays back four. But Trent, on his form this season and what he's like defensively, I don't think you can, you know, realistically say he's going to be, you know, dislodging Trippier from that team anytime soon.
I felt it was disrespectful. I think I wrote at the time it was disrespectful. And I think performance day, and yes, it was against Iran. But, you know, let's be honest here, Iran aren't exactly the worst side in the world. You know, I think they conceded four goals in qualifying. They're, you know, quite highly ranked for a side of Iran's kind of size and money that goes through the game. So it's not the easiest game in the world. But, it, you know, he comes into that side with all the kind of media circles that's been around his place in the squad or his place in the first team. And he just got on with it. And then to finish the game as captain as well. I mean, that would have been a special moment for him.
Yeah, really, really nice touch to see him get the armband when Harry Kane came off. And I bet, you know, for him personally, it was a very good moment. He's had some fantastic moments in an England shirt, especially at World Cups. We all obviously remember that free kick in 2018. And it looks like if he can keep this form up that he's been working on at Newcastle, he's going to have a fantastic tournament, hopefully, in what will probably be his last World Cup. So yeah, fantastic start for him. Really, really pleased on a personal level as a Newcastle writer to see him, you know, taking plenty of the spotlight after the game, and long may it continue.
There's a few people in the comments. Dan Kane mentioned it first. He said something along the lines of that he had a bit of his heart went when Kieran Trippier went down holding his foot. And I think we were watching it here in the office, and me and you both groaned a little bit as well, thinking, is that the dreaded metatarsal?
Yeah, whenever Trippier went down, there was a, you know, sort of a collective gasp of breath. And I think even when Callum Wilson wasn't on the floor, even when he was just stretching for a ball that you thought he might not get to, we were sort of, you know, on tenterhooks. But yeah, you know, really, there was that one moment where he sort of got a nasty stand on the foot, and you know, he probably have a couple of bruised toes tonight. But we were all sitting there thinking, you know, is he going to be okay? And I think this is just going to be the worry. I'm so delighted Wilson's there. Really, really delighted to see him get on and get the assist, which we'll talk about in a bit. But there's just going to be that little knack and doubt of, please don't get injured for the second half of the season.
I think it's the same with Trippier as well. If he goes off, and it might seem to you guys listening and watching that we've headed straight down the negative route. But I think I think
it's a valid concern. Yeah. And I think a lot of the viewers and listeners here will be also thinking the same thing about those two players, because both vital for Newcastle in the second half of the season if they want to keep this form going.
Some stats then about Kieran Trippier's performance. You guys listen will know I'm a stat man, so I have done a little bit of homework very quickly. Made 73 out of 88 passes. That's a percentage rate of 83%. That puts him fifth on the list. He won 8 out of 8 duels. That's 5 ground duels and 3 in the air. That was top of the list. And he also made the most tackles with 5. Going forward, he attempted 6 crosses, 2 accurate crosses. I mean, those stats alone, they show exactly what he brings. You know, strong defensively. Attacking-wise, I mean, a lot of the debate was about Alexander-Arnold, that he was better going forward. Well, you know, if you watch Newcastle like we do week in, week out, like you guys watching, listening do week in, week out, you will know that that's... I mean, yes, he is good going forward, but Kieran Trippier's not very far behind him, if at all behind him.
I think Trippier offers much more balance. I think we saw it today in the first half, especially where he was bombing forward, trying to overlap down that right-hand side. He whipped in a fantastic cross when Maguire nearly scored in the first half. And that's exactly what he does week in, week out for Newcastle. We've seen how well he's worked with Miggy this season. We've seen how well those little triangles work with Bruno as well. But what he also offers at the back is what Trent doesn't offer, and that is actually stability and defensive stability. He never looks like he's going to get beaten one-on-one. He's very, very fast for a 32-year-old. He never looks like he's sort of chasing the game or chasing tricky attackers, and I thought that was what we saw this afternoon.
Does the fact that he was handed the armband towards the end just show you why Newcastle, you know, went out and got him? He was the first piece of the jigsaw.
Yeah, 100%. I think we've seen it ever since he arrived in January. That's what he possesses. He never has a day off. He might have a day off in terms of how well he plays with a ball at his feet, but he never has an off day in terms of how much shouting and how much instruction he's given other players. And it's like there's never an off switch. As soon as he's on that pitch, playing for either Newcastle or England, he's just this big, boisterous character. And yeah, I was listening to his interview on the BBC after, and he actually, you know, he's quite a quiet, not timid, but he's quite a well-spoken man. But on the pitch, he's just a different animal altogether.
Callum Wilson got on. It looked very nearly that he wasn't going to get on after Harry Maguire had to come off with what we suspect was concussion. He was all stripped and ready to go alongside the likes of Jack Grealish and Marcus Rashford, and then he was told to sit down. And that was the other groan that came from the office. Wasn't like, oh no, because we were really excited to see Callum Wilson get on because he deserves to be there. And again, a lot of discussion whether about he was the right pick or not. But for Newcastle United fans watching him, again, watching week in, week out, he was always going to be on that plane. I know that's probably a bit biased, but he was always going to be on the plane because he just offers something that a lot of the strikers don't. And as a backup to Harry Kane, you know, I think he's probably the best option. And he showed today, I think he's so well suited to the way England kind of play and the way Newcastle play in many ways. has helped him, you know, fit straight in. Now, he doesn't play in the same way Harry Kane does. Harry Kane likes to drop a bit deep or float out to the wide. But in terms of pressing and in terms of running the channels, I thought Callum Wilson suited what England were doing very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it week in, week out for Newcastle, how well he runs those channels, how well he, you know, offers a bit more when they're trying to play those balls over the top. And I thought, you know, he wasted no time doing that today. There was, as we've touched on, there was that collective groan when he was racing through to try and get the ball in front of that keeper in the second half. But yeah, fantastic. We obviously thought for a second that he wouldn't get on when Maguire forced Southgate to change his plans a little bit, but obviously 10 minutes later we got to see him. And look, forget about all the injury worries and anything that we're concerned about on Newcastle level. It's just good to see that his, you know, determination to try and make this England goal a possibility has came true. And I'm delighted for him on a personal note to get on today and also to play a part in one of the goals as well, because I think if anybody deserves it after the, you know, sort of years he's had with injuries, it's Callum Wilson.
Yeah, and in an interview leading up to the World Cup, I think it was on his podcast with the BBC, you know, he said he was kind of realistic about the opportunities he was going to get the World Cup, but he was going to take every single minute. He was going to take it and make it his own. And I think he has to do that, and he did it today, because, you know, to go on and to replace Harry Kane for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and if you don't do anything, then it's very hard to look to the next game and then be a bit aggrieved. Maybe, you know, only Marcus Rashford goes on in that forward position and you stay on the bench. I think to do something today was really, really important, especially with Marcus Rashford scoring as well. So for him to get an assist, and we were all likely to have been a goal, but I thought it was really important for him just to have something of note to take away from this game.
Yeah, definitely. And look, when he was bearing down on goal, I think we were all willing to shoot. I think there's still some fans here in the comments on the Facebook Live saying, why on earth didn't he shoot, especially when it was Grealish that he set up. But just good to see that he got, you know...
We're all England fans here today. We're all England fans.
This is an England podcast, not a Newcastle United podcast. But yeah, look, fantastic that he got on. And look, we sort of touched on it earlier today in the office that behind Harry Kane, Southgate hasn't really taken an out-and-out striker. Yes, you've got Rashford, but he tends to play on the left or right. Sterling's the same. If, you know, Southgate's looking to take Harry Kane off to rest him as he did today, Callum Wilson's the man, and I think he's probably going to get more minutes than we anticipated in this tournament, especially if, you know, England go into these games with the USA and Wales and they find themselves in the comfortable position that they found themselves today, a few goals to the good. He could get quite a few minutes in this group stage.
Well, there was a moment when Harry Kane went down and he was feeling that ankle, and he's had issues with the ankle recently, and there was a bit of a concern with that happening, and you thought, well, actually, it's not... I mean, it, you know, let's make no bones about it. Harry Kane is the best striker Gareth Southgate has got, the best English striker in the Premier League, and one of the best, you know, strikers in general across the world. Callum Wilson's very good. He's not at that level, no disrespect. But, you know, it's not a bad option to have coming off the bench should you need him. And fingers crossed it doesn't happen that way and he just gets it because, like you say, he needs to be rested. But either way it happens, it's not a bad replacement to have, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I know we're biased and this is a Callum Wilson loving, but he isn't quite the level of Harry Kane. And if England do want to go deep in this tournament, you probably do need to keep Kane fit for all of it. But he's a fantastic option off the bench. A lot of the debate before the tournament was, does Wilson go behind him? Does Ivan Toney go behind him? Does Tammy Abraham go behind him? And they're all probably about the same level, give or take. But Callum Wilson's the man in form, isn't he? He's been banging them in for Newcastle for months. And I think, as we've said, he offers a lot more. He offers a lot off the ball. He offers a lot down the channels. He offers a lot in front of goal. He was very unselfish today. So look, I think he's made the right decision, and we've just got to keep everything crossed, fingers, toes, eyes, that he doesn't get injured.
Well, I quickly answer Dan Kane's question, because he's adamant we should answer this one. So he's a United States fan. He's asked, what do we think will happen in that game? I'll be honest, I don't know too much about the American side. I know you know, a little bit more about this, about the Wales sides, but not too much. I mean, you'd kind of... I would like to see Wales go through with England, but in terms of, you know, a kind of a fair and balanced, researched answer, I'm not really sure I can give one.
Yeah, look, it's two very, very closely matched teams. I don't think, you know, I was looking this morning, I don't think the bookmaker's going to really split them. I think it's going to be a tight contest. And I think if Wales want to get through to the last 16, you know, the game tonight against the USA and the game against Iran later this week or two that they really need to be winning, because I don't think you'd like to face England in the form they're in today. But I think for England, as Dan's comment alludes to there, we're probably hoping for a draw just to obviously keep the points down. But and I hope I'm not jinxing this, but England, on the basis of what we saw today, look like they're, you know, poised to go very, very far. And I was sort of sceptical coming at this tournament because their form under Southgate in the last couple of qualifiers and friendlies was so poor. I was thinking, are they gonna flop? But look, credit to them today, they were absolutely fantastic. And they made, as we touched on, a quite decent Iran side, you know, 22nd in the world. They made them look pretty average today.
Nick Pope didn't start today. Jordan Pickford kept his spot. He had one, moment where he kind of fluffed his lines, but he in large had a decent performance. It was a really good save towards the end. And this might not go down well with our watch as our listeners, but probably the right decision, justified in making that decision.
Look, Gareth Southgate really, really rates Jordan Pickford. He's made no bones about that. And you could argue that Nick Pope was the vastly superior player in terms of form going into the tournament. But, you know, I read a stat this morning that Jordan Pickford played every minute of the last Euros and every minute of Russia 2018. So in terms of how much we're going to see Nick Pope, I don't think we're going to see him as much as Trippier in this tournament, which is a big shame because he has been in tremendous form and I think he offers a lot to England. But Pickford just suits the way England plays. Distribution's very good. He's on his day, he's a very, very good shot stopper. And as I've said, Southgate really does see him there. So yeah, Pope, I'm a bit gutted because I did want to see him at this tournament, and hopefully if England are already through after their second group game, we might see him. But
feet on the ground. Yes. In terms of form, how important is it that the likes of Wilson, Trippier, Bruno, they carry on their club form into the World Cup, and then that carries on after the World Cup as well?
Yeah, massively. It's going to breed massive amount of confidence for Callum Wilson if he gets a couple of runs in this England team. I mean, Trippier's captain in his country on a national level, that's going to do wonders for his personal confidence. Not that he probably needs any more, given how confident he is every single game we see him. But yeah, absolutely fantastic. And obviously, Bruno's a bit different because we don't know how much game time he's going to get in that, you know, talent-laden Brazil squad. But they're every single Newcastle player is heading into this tournament in the best possible form that can be. So hopefully they'll just come back safe and they can carry on for club level.
And we did mention Callum Wilson getting the assist. Just your take on that, the decision not to shoot. I know a few people have mentioned in the comments and you briefly mentioned it before. I mean, it was the right decision in the end. The goal came.
It was the right decision in the end, but I think if we could rewind, I would still love to see him shoot. There were 5-1 up at the time. He's bearing down on goal. I'm really, really surprised he hasn't taken the shot on. Callum Wilson on the national stage scoring at the World Cup.
What do you think's going through his head in that moment?
If I'm honest, I don't know, because he looks like he's got a good angle and it just looks like the last minute he changed his mind. But somebody pointed out to me earlier that he did something very, very similar with Jacob Murphy a couple of weeks ago and was very, very unselfish in that. And
wasn't there something that, was it someone had grabbed him before that pass to Murphy? Was it Jason Tindall or Graham Jones? There was something was said, yeah, about pass it at the right moment.
Yeah, Jason Tindall was shouting at him a couple of minutes before for holding on the ball too long. So maybe that's in his head. Maybe he's just got the voice of Jason Tindall.
Hey, do you know what? It all counts. It's a goal.
Look, Jason Tindall's a scary man when he gets angry. I sit close enough to him at the matches to hear those expletives coming out of his mouth. But look, on a personal note, I would have loved to see him score, and I hope in the next two games or the next couple of games we see him get the chance to get on the score sheet for England. But it just shows you what a team player he is. And even Jack Grealish, public enemy number one in Newcastle, he'll still happily set him up. So yeah, very, very good performance for a cameo. And as I say, I hope we get to see more from this tournament.
100%. We've got a few questions from listeners that have been sent in via email. If you guys watching live want to ask anything about Newcastle United or pass your comments on about the England performance, get them in. We've got about 5 minutes or so to go because I'm going to get off to Monday Night Football. Unfortunately, Aaron injured himself a couple of weeks ago, so he's on the treatment table.
Yeah.
Good?
Very, very good, yeah. I feel like Callum Wilson did all those years ago when he was missing out on those key games. But yeah, I'll be with you there in spirit.
We look forward to your return. The first question we've got emailed in, it reads, do you think Eddie Howe and Newcastle United will be worried if Bruno performs well in this World Cup? In terms of, I assume the person means in terms of, you know, that puts the eye of Real Madrid, the interest of Real Madrid up a notch, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the worry. I think Newcastle are in a strange position. They've probably never been in this position before where they're actually heading into a World Cup worried about a player stealing the show like that. Eddie Howe will be fully aware that Bruno could have an absolute storm, but I think the thing with Bruno and the form that he's shown in 2022 is the fact that he's probably on everybody's radar already. There's already been talk of Real Madrid wanting him. Manchester City and Chelsea are names that get thrown about quite often as well. Every club in Europe probably knows exactly what he's about. And I don't think there'll be any, you know, worry. I don't think there'll be any sleepless nights over it. He's also doesn't seem at all unsettled in Newcastle. Every interview he gives, he sort of hammers home the point that he's settled in Newcastle. And loves the fans as much as they love him. So there's always the risk. I mean, Newcastle United have signed some fantastic players over the years on the back of really, really good World Cups that they've scouted them at. So I hope Bruno does well, but not too well.
That was the next question that we've been asked, and is how much Newcastle will be paying attention to the World Cup in terms of their January transfer plans. Do you think if someone performs well, they could be added to the list? Or do you think... And I think this will probably be the way Newcastle will go. They will have a list. It may include one or two names at the World Cup. It also may not. And, I can't really see anyone really rising to that top of the list on the back of the next few weeks in Qatar.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be heading into this tournament thinking, right, we need to, you know, find the best talent from this tournament and go and sign them. And, you know, Chronicle correspondent Kieran Kelly actually asked Eddie Howe this a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, will he be sort of scouting the World Cup? And how, in quite unusual fashion, actually give him a, you know, quite an open answer and said, yeah, you know, we're always looking at these tournaments. So they'll be looking, you know, Ashworth's team will be out there and trying to find the gem. I think there's been a couple over the years that have came out of the left field and Newcastle have signed them, like Daryl Yamat, and players that have just sort of came out of nowhere with a really, really good World Cup. And all of a sudden, sort of, you know, big Premier League teams want them. So I've got no doubt they'll be keeping an eye on these games and hopefully a gem or two emerges that they can try and steal.
And the final question I had written down there was a question on the warm weather training camp in Saudi Arabia, how important that's going to be to Newcastle and what they do after this World Cup break.
Yeah, it'll be vital. Eddie Howe has openly said he wants it to be essentially a pre-season for the players that haven't gone to the World Cup, and I think it'll give them the best possible chance to carry on this form that they've had running up to the winter break, because everybody's talking about how they don't want to lose this momentum. But what we've seen the last two times they've went abroad to Dubai and Saudi is they always come back flying. You know, they've always had a really, really good start after going on those warm weather trips. So if it's anything like the other two, I think they'll come back in really good shape. They've got a friendly out there against Al Hilal, and then they come back and have two games in quick succession against Vallecano and then Bournemouth in the Cup. So good decision that they're going out for warm weather training. I know the players have had, you know, a week or two break now along with the staff. Eddie Howe's gone home to see his family and stuff like that. So hopefully they're all back refreshed. They'll have another good stint out there training and it's business as usual when they get back.
It's certainly going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. We'll finish here on Sean's comments. And this goes back to the question that was sent in about Bruno. And Sean says, Bruno is a Geordie. I don't think he will be loved as much as he is by us fans here. If he moves, he stays. Shame for Big Joe. He says he should have made the list for Brazil. In his opinion, he's a machine in midfield. Yeah, I kind of would have liked to see Joe Linton in that Brazil squad. But as you alluded to, Aaron, they've got a list of talented players. And I guess maybe we'll finish on this question. You know, yes, the World Cup's just a couple of days old. We've seen two of Newcastle United players involved today. I think Bruno probably will start, actually, in Brazil's first game. Don't write in if I'm wrong. That's just my assumption. But it is a little bit bizarre to be sitting here and actually looking at the team sheets and going, okay, wow, we haven't just got players going, you know, we've got players going in teams that have got a good chance, and I'm mainly talking about Brazil, yeah, England maybe later on, we'll see how it goes, but they've got a chance of winning this tournament.
Oh, massively. I mean, it's very, very unusual to be watching an England game and seeing a Newcastle United player starting from the outset, and it's just the reality these days. It shows, once again, how good that recruitment was in January to bring in these players that are going to World Cups and being talked about as absolute superstars, and it's a welcome change from the years of not really paying much attention to World Cups on Newcastle front. So yeah, hope England go well. Really hope Brazil go well. And I really, really hope Australia do okay in that group to see Grant Kowal. I spoke to one of his former coaches last week who predicted that he was going to have a big moment in this World Cup and really stand out. So luckily Newcastle have snapped him up before he gets the chance to show what he can do on the world stage.
Dwight York said someone as well. Of course, he works over then. And I know his son links, but put that aside, I mean, that's quite a big compliment from a very good Premier League striker. So definitely one to keep an eye on. All we will say is to Callum Wilson and Kieran Tripp and Bruno and Nick Pope, just don't come back injured.
Just everybody listen to this.
Play
just,
your socks off, but don't come back injured.
Everyone listen, just cross your fingers and hopefully we'll be all right.
We'll have an episode of Gibbo's Corner coming out later this week. That will be exclusively on the podcast channel. So on your podcast platform, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just search Everything is Black and White Podcast and you will see Gibbo's Corner, which will go live on Saturday. It's all about Gibbo covering the World Cup, which he did several World Cups back in his day here at chroniclelive.co.uk. Well, it wasn't the website back then, the paper rather, the Evening Chronicle. So it's going to be really an interesting episode to put together that one. So that'll be out later this weekend. And all being well, I'll be back next week with someone filling in for Aaron because he's off on holiday for a bit. But we'll be back the week after together. The partnership will be back together. But yeah, I'll be back next week with a special guest. So watch out for that one. But in the meantime, do head over to chroniclelive.co.uk to keep up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news.